Oh, that's right. We're right here this morning. Hey, I'm Ann Eller, and this morning I have a special treat for everybody. I got my political pundit, the one and only Jeff Eller, is right here with me this morning. So we're going to be talking to him in just a moment. Peggy is not going to be here today, but I want to tell you, yesterday afternoon we had a fantabulous afternoon out there at the Links of Stony Point. Got to talk to Mike Nichols. He is the executive business director for the Symetra Tour, and he is, believe he's already left town and gone on to Albany, where they're getting ready for another Symetra Tour, I believe in 2 weeks. But he was sat down with us, had a great conversation with him. We'll be posting all of those today. We also talked to three of the gals that are on the Symetra Tour, and happened to talk to the money winner from the Atlanta Tour, which is coming up on 2 weeks away. So she was pretty pumped about being here. She is Nandy Manson. I think that's right. Close to being right anyways. And she is from Copenhagen, Denmark. So that was a lot of fun talking to her yesterday. She also, we found out as we talked more, was on the Olympic team for Denmark. So she's had quite an international experience, and it was great to talk to her. Talk to two other gals out there too. We had an excellent time. We have posted pictures on Facebook. So check out our Facebook page, WCRS.AM Radio. So lots of fun out there. You got to get out there for the weekend. Today is the first day of play. First day of play for the tournament. 144 gals will be competing for a top prize of $30,000. So how about that? 144 gals. Now, I think it gets on Friday evening, it gets cut down to about 60, the top 60, including ties. So if there's a tie, and that is a top 60 score, all that have made that score will compete. So then, of course, it gets really exciting on Saturday, and then Sunday, of course, is the final day. So, are you going to make it out there? I hope so. Tickets are just, if you go sign up for 4 days worth of tickets, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, tickets are $20 for the 4 days. But no, they're not. They would be $20. They're only $15. $15 for 4 days out there at the Links of Stony Point. So put that on your agenda of things you got to do this weekend. It was so much fun. It was Nana Madsen. It was the gal from Denmark. And then we talked to Madeline Shields. She, I think she was the gal from Idaho, and the potato had been found. And then we also talked to Carly Silvers. So good fun all the way around. Hope you check out the pictures and hope you make it out there. The links out there is just beautiful. Oh my God, it's so beautiful. 144 girls taking to the course today. Some of them have been back. Some of that's their first trip there. One gal said this would be her fourth trip here to the Links of Stony Point. She said one of the things that makes coming here so great, number one, the course is a lot of fun, but two, it's the relationships that you form with the host families and the people that you meet. So make sure you get out there. And don't forget, on Sunday, they will be having their Mother's Day brunch. I believe it's from 10:30 to 1:30, right in that. And give them a call and make that reservation. And if mom eats out there, she gets to go out on the course for free. So make sure you do that and have a good time this weekend out there at the Links of Stony Point. All right, what else is going on? I got Jeff here. We've got a road funding bill has become law. That's right. Henry McMaster was the veto that he said he was going to do. Well, he made it, but it didn't matter because the road bill had enough votes to overshadow his veto. So, Jeff, how you doing today?
Doing great, Ann.
It's good to have you here, Mr. Eller.
All right, I'm here.
All right, here. That's right. So, just out of curiosity, it looks to me like the roads bill became highly political when House Speaker Jay Lewis said that Governor McMaster, put the advice of campaign consultants over South Carolinians by vetoing it. And it says the governor has chosen to place politics over policy that doesn't solve problems, said Jay Lucas, who is the House Speaker. What you got to say about what we've been watching on this roads bill?
That was the safest veto you'll ever see.
Yes, I guess you could say that.
I mean, you can't picture any safer veto. The problem would have been if the vote was close and his veto would have maybe meant something to turn it down. So, you know, you can have it both ways this way. He vetoed the bill, but he can say, well, it's here. It's not as good as what I would have done.
Yeah, there you go.
It doesn't have to say that he would have vetoed the bill, period. He can just add to, I would have done.
That's
and
right.
It's a constant thing. The drumbeat never stops on the political. The only person I see that doesn't recognize the drumbeat of political is probably Trump.
Why do you think that is?
Too used to running a business. You fire somebody in a business, no big deal. If they're performing, they don't get fired. If they don't perform, they get fired. If they make mistakes in judgment more than once, they get fired, you know. So it's no big deal. But politics is entirely different.
I guess you're talking about Jim Comey.
The Comey thing is one thing, but there's other things, the departments where people are being removed and basically removed for incompetence. The VA was a great example of that. They're trying to fire people there. My God, that's a challenge.
Yeah, well, it's hard to fire somebody that's holding on to the pole and won't leave the office. Yeah. No, I'm not going. This is a good job.
Well, they're using every method to hold it by civil service. And we're talking to people that have not been around for 1 year, 5 years, 10 years. The average one they're trying to fire has been in the VA for over 30.
And that's part of the problem.
That is the problem.
Yeah.
Number one, they're out of touch with what's happening today. I'm out of touch. When, you know, I get things done because I have employees that know how to tweak the system on the computer.
Work around what you're saying. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
They can convert things to actuality. All I do is look at it from the standpoint of what somebody tells me that system can do.
Correct.
But they don't. That is the biggest single problem. The other single problem that happens, they've seen so many horrendous effects of the VA's incompetence that no longer shocks them. It's just another day at the office.
You're talking about those that have been in the VA for 30-plus years?
Yeah.
Or 20-plus years, maybe?
20-plus years is actually the magic marker on that.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like hospitals. Hospitals are now weeding out the people that can't use the handheld devices as quickly or as adeptly as what they want. If you're a nurse or even a doctor and you can't perform with the modern-day techniques and...
Technology.
Right.
Yeah.
If you can't match up to it, they don't hit you over the head to push you out. They suddenly just make rules that you can't match up to and you're out anyhow.
Yeah. giving tests and this type of thing.
Yeah, we know doctors have retired rather than adapt.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there are nurses out there that are being affected
by
this.
Quite a few.
Yes.
Quite a few.
Yep, exactly.
The most endangered species on the face of the earth is the technology-driven jobs that are also service jobs.
That's right. So as this Roads Bill becomes law, just to get back to the Roads Bill, what do you think? A good decision on the state to do the gas tax?
It is a decision. It moves the ball forward a little bit. The problem is that everything that we do nowadays seems to be half-hearted. If you're in for it, why not do the whole enchilada and make a bill large enough to pay enough, but make sure that the money's collected only goes for the roads.
Isn't that one of the biggest problems with the roads is that the money was being diverted to be used for other things?
Yes, and they always have a justification for it. They always have a justification for it. We had to divert it to a school because the ceiling was falling or something of that nature.
Right.
And there's always a reason for it, but there's no logic for it. Just reason on the basis of exigencies of the moment.
Well, I mean, that would be, what shall we say, a microcosm of what happened with Social Security on the federal level.
Social Security, there should never have been a problem on that. We've raided the Social Security fund for almost 100 years now. And let's see, 13 years from now, it'll be a 100-year-old bill. And we've raided the Social Security funds from day one.
And it's no wonder that we're having to make adjustments.
It's no wonder, and it's a ridiculous thing. People organize things, vote money for things, and people congratulate each other on it, knowing somewhere down the line they don't dip into that cookie jar.
That's right. So the road bill... what we got to do something about these roads. Another year with no action on the roads, we might as well have just given up a road system here in South Carolina.
Actually, we even with this bill, we're looking at 2 years for most of it to become effective.
Well, I think one of the biggest problems is we don't have the workers that can, even if the money showed up tomorrow, to do the work. We don't have enough paving companies and this type of thing.
Oh, we have enough paving companies. What they're talking about is DOT workers, Department of Transportation workers, which is, literally a political sinecure in this state. I mean, those jobs are handed out on the basis of, wow, this is really great because I'll get all these benefits and things, and I'm the same as any construction worker, and getting paid essentially the same as private.
Well, of course, some of that may change as they're looking at the pension, the retirement funds here for the state of South Carolina. We may have a big change coming on that, too.
Some of it may change, but anything that uses the word competitiveness doesn't change.
Are we talking about lack of competitiveness?
Lack of competitiveness.
Okay.
Actually, the guys that do the work on the roads.
Yes.
That level, you don't really get much better than what we have right now, I think.
On the roads with those guys. They were working.
They work.
Yep.
The guys that do the potholes and they actually do the work, there's not a problem with that.
Okay.
The problem is the layers above them that are basically unnecessary.
Oh, we're talking about the bureaucracy?
The bureaucracy.
Interesting word, bureaucracy, isn't it?
It's been around a long time.
Exactly.
I mean, it's been all the way from Caesar's time and before Caesar even. Even the pharaohs complained about the Egyptian bureaucracy.
And still in today's world, we deal with it, and we're dealing with it in a huge way in Washington, D.C.
The bureaucracy has become an industry unto itself. Now, this is not anything recent.
Right.
This is actually, by the mid-60s, it had expanded to the point where You know, they list off the leading industries in the United States. If they listed bureaucracy, it would be number one by a large margin. I remember years ago, I did a tour through India. This was when I was in service. And the Indian National Railroad was the largest employer in the world.
Wow. Yeah. In the world.
In the world. Now, the interesting part about that was that only 20% of the workers for the Indian National Railroad produce work.
Wow.
The others produce paper.
Well, that's one of my bitches about the world, paper.
Well, at that time, there was no Xerox machines or anything else, and they had offices that would have 300-400 people that were scribing. When I say scribing, I mean like in ancient times, they hand-copied documents. Right. We're not talking about 10 or 20 people. We're talking hundreds of people. These were make-do jobs. But on the other hand, they said that the Indian democracy would never come about without the Indian railroads.
Because it connected people and gave them a way to be able to communicate.
It did. And it also gave them a pool to draw from for being a political entity. Because the politics of the railroad were such that they just transferred over to national politics.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah. And that was back in the 60s.
That was back in the 60s.
Do you know how they're doing today over there?
Nope.
I mean, it's 2017.
Don't think I'll be going and checking them out.
Okay. Haven't read anything about it, huh?
Nope.
All right. Hey, I'm here with my political pundit here today. We're going to be back in just a moment, so don't you go away.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. It's Political Thursday, and who knows, it may be Political Friday, too, right here on WCRS. So we were just talking about the word bureaucracy, and you wanted to talk a little bit about the bureaucracy of Washington, D.C., and the idea that our 45th president, Donald J. Trump, wants to drain the swamp. What do you think, Jeff?
I think it's a near impossibility because nobody truly has the will to do it. The city of Washington certainly does not.
What would happen if we moved the capital, like to Nashville? I mean, this was Governor Huckabee's idea years ago, and I have kept with that idea.
Well,
I think it's a good one.
We could do something that's pretty much the same.
Okay.
We could take and make regional bureaus.
Okay.
The Office of Land Management should be out west where most of that is
where the
done.
Land management is.
Where it is. Then you start from zero-based manning of it. Each job had to have a job description that produced something.
What a concept.
Well, the concept of Washington is to check something.
Okay.
So you can say, I hired these people to check this activity. Well, that's a never-ending circle.
Right.
Where do you stop the, quote, checking? Everybody does something. They produce a piece of paper. It goes up. It's checked by this person. Then that results in that piece of paper is checked by somebody else. I'm using the term paper. It could be a web screen or something of that nature, but whatever it is the constant circle that they produce by the bureaucracy that they set up Now that everybody wants their own fiefdom, the more people they have working for them, the more impervious they are to criticism or anything else, because nobody wants to have to let those people go. And those are a valuable source of political leverage, the people that work for the government. How about that? Nobody forgets who gave them the job.
So they're going to vote for them.
They seem to follow that pattern there.
Right, yes. Okay.
There's a reason why the great majority of the upper-level civil servants vote for Democratic is the fact that they owe their jobs to that particular party and the people that were in it. Let's take this Consumer Protection Bureau. It has 60,000 people working for it.
Yes.
What do? They essentially check things.
Okay.
They monitor things.
Okay.
They don't wait for a problem to appear. They supposedly create the problem by saying it should be a problem.
Now that makes sense. That makes sense.
Any bureau, no matter what it is, that works on the basis of that it should be a problem, to my effect, has no business of being in business at all. They should be. Well, they're not in business, that's
right.
For sure.
Right.
They'd be driven out of business. They should have no effect on anything being done. They should be out, period. They form public opinion rather than react to public need.
So, here we have President Donald Trump coming from the business sector. Is there any possibility of him being able to drain the swamp? Can he reduce the size of government?
He can tertiarily. I mean, he can get the fringes of it, but to get into the heart of it, to where you rip that heart out, to where the rest of it just rots away, to where it's not there, not likely. The only thing I believe that nobody has even brought up is doing regional areas type thing, to where it can't get so embedded and have such a massive influence on a region's economy, like Maryland or Virginia's economy, because of where Washington is.
Absolutely.
And the fact of everybody feeds off the same trough. But if he can do something similar to that, maybe. But the biggest thing is getting a philosophy turned around. Instead of serving the people, they're working to serve the bureaucracy.
They're feeding the bureaucracy.
Right.
They're keeping it growing.
Right.
Yeah. And so the only way that you see this happening, what do you think Trump's philosophy is about draining the swamp?
Draining the swamp, his philosophy is shut it down.
Shut it down. Do you think that's why he's talking about a potential shutdown in September?
I think that wouldn't scare him at all, type thing.
Well, he's talked about
that it should be.
Right.
Shut it down. Okay. That's great. We'll fire those suckers and then work downwards. If he fired them instead from the bottom up, from the top down, I think it would hold their attention.
Yeah, you're right. It would.
You know, Obama went out and did the things that punish people, like shutting the parks and stuff like that.
Yes.
Nonsense type crap. If he actually shut down what they consider the gravy of Washington, those jobs of checking and monitoring, and just started cleaning them out from the top down and then not reopen them.
Right.
Wow. Remember that government on a shutdown can let people go.
Correct.
The only opportunity you get is that, to do it on a massive scale.
So that could be coming to Washington, D.C. in September.
Well, he doesn't like the Consumer Protection Bureau that was, you know, a fop to the Democratic left. Or he doesn't like some of the other ones that are licensing bureaus that are fopped to the people in business and things. Either one of those, both of them are bad. Mm-hmm. Let's do away with all of them.
There you go. All right, well, I want to wind this up. Is there any closing words you'd like to say for us, political pundit Jeff Eller?
Well, we have people that we see go to Washington, and when you talk to them before they went, they have some really good ideas. And you vote for those ideas. And then they start explaining why they haven't done those ideas. And the explanation is always the same.
And what is that?
The explanation is, we're trying.
Yeah. That word trying just doesn't cut it, does it?
Trying doesn't help for anything. I mean, let's take fact that government isn't a business.
Okay.
And businesses go by results.
Yep.
Governments go by service. And if you're not providing the service, there's a reason.
Absolutely. Well, that's a very interesting commentary from my own very own political pundit, the one and only Jeff Eller. Thanks for being with us this morning, Jeff.
All right, Ann. Hope I helped.
Oh, you helped. I'm sure the word is out there and they're shaking in their boots out there.
Yeah. Running for the doors.
Running for the doors. That's right. Locking them before anybody else can get in.